Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Thankful that you're here to worship the Lord with us and study His Word. Let me ask you, if you have a copy of God's Word, would you open up with me again to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 24 will be our place today. While you're finding your way to Matthew chapter 24, let me just echo what Jimbo said. I'm thankful for this group of young people behind me. I'm thankful that they gave up some time this morning to come and lead us in worship. I'm thankful for the gifts that God has given them to sing, and what beautiful voices. Man, don't you love the Christmas music this time of year? But even more than that, I love the message and the meaning behind it and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus as we celebrate the fact that God loved the world so much, He sent His Son to this world, and He came in the form of a baby in Bethlehem, and we celebrate that this Christmas. But now as we turn to Matthew 24, we're going to turn our attention from the first coming of Jesus to the second coming of Jesus, as we have the last few weeks. And so if you found your place, Matthew 24, I'm going to begin reading today where we left off last week in verse 32. And just going to read down through verse 36 as we begin, but we'll go all the way through the end of the chapter during our time together. But listen to the word of the Lord this morning. Jesus is speaking here, continuing this conversation with His disciples on the Mount of Olives. And He said, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that He is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." Will you pray with me this morning as we take a look at God's Word together? Father, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You, Lord, for its clarity. I thank You for its truth. I thank You that You love us enough, Lord, to speak to us and to guide us and to give us everything we know for life and need to know, Father, for life and for godliness. Thank You, Father, for the gift of worship. Thank You, Lord, that we can sing songs of joy and peace and hope because of those things that You offer us through Christ. And Lord, now as we look at Your Word, I pray that You would just give us understanding, and Father, that You would help us to know what it is that we need to hear today, and God, would You give us a heart of obedience. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been asked a question a lot over the last few weeks. It's probably one that you have been asked, or perhaps some of you have even asked this question. A lot of people, when they run into me in town or even here at the church, they ask, "Hey, are you ready for Christmas?" And what they mean by that is, me and my gaggle of children, are we ready? Like, are we, you know, are we prepared? And, you know, when you think about that question, are you ready for Christmas? You know, you can answer it in two ways. I mean, number one, I mean, all of us are ready for Christmas, right? I mean, kids, youth, you're ready for Christmas. Students are ready for Christmas. I'm ready for Christmas. I love Christmas. But on the other hand, I'm not ready for Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Adults, parents, grandparents, you know what I mean? Like, because Christmas requires preparation, right? Like, you have to buy presents and wrap presents and plan parties and attend parties and plan travel arrangements and all the, you know, clean the house, decorate, all those things that come with getting ready for Christmas. I don't know about you, but I still have things on my list that need to get done before Christmas gets here. There has to be a time of preparation as we look forward to Christmas Day. We know, as we think about the things that we need to do to prepare to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, today's passage of Scripture is all about preparation for the second coming of Jesus. You know, we've been in Matthew chapter 24 now for a couple of weeks, and in this chapter, Jesus is talking with His disciples there on the Mount of Olives. They remember the disciples, they'd been in the temple, Jesus had been teaching, He'd been challenging the Pharisees. And if you remember, on the way out from the temple, Jesus took His disciples up on the Mount of Olives, and as they were going, the disciples looked at the temple and talked about how beautiful it was and glorious that it was, and Jesus told them that one day soon the temple was going to be destroyed. And then that led into a conversation where the disciples asked Jesus two questions. "Hey Jesus, when is the temple going to be destroyed?" And then question number two is, "What are going to be the signs that anticipate Your second coming?" And so over the course of Matthew 24, Jesus answers those two questions. When is the temple going to be destroyed, and when is He going to come back? And so we've looked at this now for the last couple of weeks. We've seen the signs that Jesus talked about that would precede His second coming. And then today we're going to take a look at what Jesus says we need to do as we anticipate His second coming. Now, before we get into the text, let me just remind you of something. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Anytime you study Matthew 24 or Revelation or Daniel or any of the end times passages in the Bible, there are differing opinions and interpretations on what the timing is and the symbols and all those sorts of things. But let me just remind you of what I said 2 weeks ago. Faithful, Bible-believing Christians have studied these things and have come to differing opinions sometimes, and that's okay as long as we keep the main thing the main thing. And so what is the main thing? The main thing, as you see today's big idea tells us, is that we all need to be fully ready for the second coming of Jesus. Regardless of when it is, regardless of which millennial view you hold or any of those things, regardless of where you stand on all those things, every one of us needs to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. And so what does that look like, and how should we prepare and be ready for the second coming of Christ? Well, Jesus answers those questions in our passage today. So grab your outline and let's dive into our text. I want to show you from these verses this morning, there are four things that we need to be prepared for regarding the second coming of Jesus. And the first is this: the second coming of Jesus is soon. The second coming of Jesus is soon. Jesus says this right here in these opening verses, verse 32 and 33. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know he is near at the very gates. So did you see that word popped up twice, once in each verse, the word near? The coming of the Son of Man is near. The coming of Christ is near. And what Jesus does here is he uses a couple of illustrations to help us get this. The first one he talks about is a fig tree. Now, every time I read this verse, I think back to when we were living in Pelham, when I was pastoring over there before we came back here, we had this humongous fig tree behind our house. It was ginormous, and every summer, it was just loaded with figs, and we enjoyed getting to partake of the fruit. But if you've ever had a fig tree, or really any fruit tree for that matter, in the winter, right, the leaves fall off the tree, and you're left with this skeleton, really, if you will, right? The branches are bare, it's barren, it doesn't look like it can do anything. But when springtime comes, what begins to happen is the tips of those branches begin to bud out, and the leaves begin to form, and pretty soon those leaves bust out in full, and what you know then is, guess what? The fruit's coming. And it's not going to be long before I'm able to go out here on a hot summer day and pick a fig if the birds hadn't eaten already, right? But I get to enjoy the fruit of the tree. And so Jesus said, just like you can look at that fig tree and know when the leaves start getting put out, you know that the fruit's coming, it's near. He said, look around you. You see all the signs that have been fulfilled. And he says, it's like the leaves on the tree that are blossoming. The coming of the Son of Man is near. My second coming will be near. He even uses this phrase in verse 33. He says, I'm at the gates. I'm at the very gates. I'm not in yet. I haven't come in yet, but I'm knocking at the door, right? I'm right there. It's about to happen. And the whole point that Jesus is trying to communicate to his disciples and to us is that his return is imminent. It's soon. It's near. It's close. Whatever word you want to use, Jesus said he is coming soon. And as a matter of fact, this isn't just something that Jesus says in Matthew. We see this theme throughout the New Testament. Every letter, every book, every passage in the New Testament is surrounded with this idea that Jesus is coming soon. From the time that he's resurrected and ascends to be with the Father in the very beginning of the book of Acts to the very last pages of the Bible, the believers in the early church believed that Jesus was coming back soon. Matter of fact, think about the last thing that Jesus said in your Bible. If you have your Bible, the very last page, almost the very last verse, the next to the last verse in your Bible, listen to what Jesus said. Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. To which John said, amen, come Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you don't hear me say anything else, hear this. Jesus is coming soon. Not my words, his words. He tells us that he's coming soon. His return is near. But if you're like me, you hear that, and even if you say, all right, I believe that and I believe what Jesus says, there's still a question, right? Because when did Jesus say this? We know where we are in history, right? And we look back 2,000 years ago when Jesus is talking to the disciples, and that's when Jesus said these words. I don't know about you, but when I say that I'm going to do something soon, I'm not talking in years, right? We're talking seconds. Hey, I'll be back soon, or I'll be there soon. We're talking minutes, maybe days, right? But we're talking about something that's this very, very close. So for you and for me, when we hear Jesus say, behold, I'm coming soon, naturally we stop and we say, well, why is it taking so long? Because if you said this 2,000 years ago, then are you really coming? Which leads to our second point. The second coming of Jesus is not just soon. His second coming is also sure. His second coming is sure. We see this in verse 34. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. All right, notice the very first thing Jesus says in this verse. It's the word truly. Truly I say to you, truly, truly. If you have the King James, it's verily, verily. What he means is what I'm about to say is true. Everything Jesus says is true, but he's saying pay attention because what I'm about to tell you, you can take it to the bank, you can hang your hat on it. What I'm about to tell you is true. And what does he say? He says this generation will not pass away until these things take place, which leads us to two questions. Who's the generation that he's talking about? And what are the things that have to take place before his return? Well, there's a lot of debate about this, depending on your different eschatological views. You may say, well, he means this generation or that. I think, based on the context of where we've studied in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples and talking about them and their generation. Why? Because when you look back at the beginning of Matthew 24 and the very next verses that we've studied, we saw all these signs that Jesus talks about. The time of abomination, the signs of famine and earthquakes and warfare and the falling away and the time of people's love growing cold, all those things we saw where we can check off and say each of those was fulfilled in the first few decades after Jesus' resurrection. I believe he's reminding the disciples, listen guys, these things have already taken place. Every sign, every prerequisite that is necessary for the return of the Son of God to come, every one of those you can say has been fulfilled. And so what he's reminding them of is this, guys, listen, the signs are there. We've already talked about them. Don't forget what I'm telling you is true. I am coming back. But even today, there's many of us who ask this question. Well, Jesus, if you're coming back, why won't you come back sooner? Why are you taking so long? Jesus, are you really coming back? And we begin to doubt and we begin to question. And Satan puts those little fears into our minds. Is this all a waste of time? Are we all just spinning our wheels? Or maybe you get distracted by the things of the world that are so easy to focus on. And here's what Jesus says in verse 25. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In other words, what I'm telling you is gold. It's not going to fade. It's not going to perish. It's not going to not come true. Even we've studied the heavens and the earth. They're all going to be burned and everything's going to be made new one day. Jesus says everything's going to pass away. But the one thing that won't is my word. You can take it to the bank. So why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Well, remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to refer you back to this verse. When you think back to what Jesus said about when he's going to come again, there's this idea that, well, Jesus is taking forever, right? Why is he delaying, and is he really going to come back? I put this in there in your notes. Look at it with me. The delay of Christ's return doesn't mean he isn't coming. In fact, it means that his return is closer now than it's ever been. You know, the fact that we have had to wait for 2,000 years before Jesus possibly could come back even today, we're saying, well, why is it taking so long? It means that his return is closer now than ever, right? It doesn't mean that we can't trust him. It means that we need to be even more urgent to prepare for his second coming. Why hasn't he come? The answer is in 2 Peter chapter 3. I gave you this very verse 2 weeks ago, but I want to remind you of it. 2 Peter 3. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Let me pause there. So what Peter was writing, right, just a few years after Jesus ascended to be with the Father, there were people then, 2,000 years ago, saying, where's Jesus? I thought he was coming soon, but everything's happening just like it always has. Time marches on. Days turn into weeks, turn into years, and I haven't seen Jesus come back. He must not be coming. But what's the answer? Peter says in verse 8, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So his answer is twofold. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Number one, because Jesus doesn't march according to our timeline, okay? His timing is different. But number two, he says the main reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he wants the gospel to continue to go forth so that more people can believe and be ready for his return. It's a gift of God's grace, guys, that he has not yet returned because he's giving you and me and the people around us time. But the promise is that time will one day run out and we need to be ready. He is coming soon, and his coming is sure. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. Don't begin to think, well, he may or may not come, or is this all real? His word is true. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming for sure. But that leads to our third point. The second coming of Jesus, thirdly, will be sudden. It'll be sudden. In verse 36, we see this interesting verse. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So hear me very plainly. Nobody knows when Jesus is going to come back, okay? I don't know. You don't know. The guy on the YouTube video who thinks he knows, he doesn't know, right? The guy who writes the books and sells a lot of books and has all the answers, he doesn't know. Even Jesus, did you notice what Jesus said? Even Jesus in this verse says, nobody knows, not even the Son, not even me. Only the Father, he said, knows the day or the hour. Now, let me just pause there for a moment and say, I admit that verse seems a little odd, okay? Because we believe Jesus is not just man. We believe he's fully God, right? Fully God, fully man. So how can God not know when God is going to come back? How does this work? There's all sorts of theories and all sorts of ideas. We're not going to get into that today, but I want to say this. I may not understand why Jesus said what he did, but I trust Jesus. I trust his word. And if Jesus said, you know what, I don't know the day or the hour, only the Father knows, well, I'm going to take him at his word. And that means that if even Jesus in that moment said that he doesn't know, then guess what? Nobody else who says they know when the return is going to be knows what they're talking about. Nobody knows when his return is going to be. So here's what we need to do based on that. We don't need to get caught up in the timing. We don't need to get caught up in trying to figure out what all these prophecies, is this checked off, is this checked off? That means it's going to happen next Tuesday. That's not the point. The point is not for us to pick and choose and figure out the date. The point is for us to be ready. And how can we be ready? Well, we need to be reminded that when he comes, he's coming quickly and he's coming suddenly. Listen to what he says in verse 37. He gives an illustration. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. All right, what Jesus does is he takes us back to our Bible school days. All right, think back to VBS, think back to children's Sunday school, think back to when you were doing your bedtime prayers and your mom and dad were reading that Bible story book and you learned the first time about Noah and the ark. You remember hearing that story, right? Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. You remember the world was so wicked, what did God do? He said, I'm gonna destroy things and start over. It was so bad. But he says, there's Noah, and Noah was blameless and righteous, and he walked with God. And so God says, I'm going to take Noah and his family, and I'm going to spare them. And so God speaks to Noah, and he says, hey, Noah, I want you to build a boat. I want you to build this giant boat. We're going to call it an ark. And we're going to build this ark, and you're going to put animals on it, and you're going to ride this flood out because I'm about to destroy the world. And so what does Noah start doing? Yes, sir. He picks up his hammer, and he starts getting some gopher wood, right? And he starts building that boat. And what do his peers do? What do his neighbors do? Like, who is this guy and what is he doing? Why is he building a boat? There's no water around here. It's never even rained. Why are you building a boat, Noah? Oh, it's going to flood. You better be ready. What are you talking about? They thought he had lost his mind, right? He was the neighborhood weirdo building a boat out in the desert. Everybody thought he was crazy until that first drop of rain started falling, right? And until the creek over here started getting a little swollen, until the waters began to burst forth out of the earth, and guess what everybody realized then? Oh, he was right. He's not crazy. Hey, Noah, let us on that ark. Hey, Noah, hey, please let us in. And what did Jesus say? By that point, it was too late. Everybody was living their lives, going about their business, thinking that this is all hogwash and there's nothing that we need to prepare for, and then the flood happened. And what does Jesus say? I got your attention right there, didn't I? I don't know what I did, but I got your attention. So then what does Jesus say? He said, that's what my return is going to be like. Everybody's going to be living their lives, doing their thing. The people that are saying, hey, the coming of Jesus is soon, they're crazy. And Jesus says, then one day I'm going to come, and you better be prepared. Which leads to his next illustration in verse 40. He said, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one left. Again, it's this picture of everybody's doing their normal everyday thing when the Son of Man comes back. He gives two very just plain illustrations. First of all, he says, look at a couple of guys. They're out farming, right? We can understand that. Some of you guys are farmers. They're just doing their job. They're just out in the field planting or harvesting or whatever it is that time of year, he says. They're out in the field doing their normal everyday job. And then Jesus comes back. And he says, and then look at a couple of ladies. He says, they're grinding at the mill. Now, back in that day, most of the women, they'd go and they'd grind the flour and they'd make the bread and that sort of thing. It's kind of like, ladies, you're cooking supper in the kitchen, right? There's a couple of ladies preparing dinner for their family, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes back. Now, he uses this phrase, he says that one will be taken and one left, and theologians debate on what that means, and there's differing ideas. Some people think it refers to the church being raptured. Some people think it refers to people being taken away for judgment. Jesus doesn't say, and that's not his point. The point is not to go about the particulars and to figure out all that stuff. His point is simply be ready, because you don't know when that day is going to come, and you want to be on the ready side when he comes. Don't just go about your business and act like it's not going to happen. Be ready. And then he gives one more illustration to drive this point home. Verse 42, he says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Here Jesus uses a really powerful illustration. He says, if you knew somebody was going to break into your house, you'd be waiting on them and you'd be ready. You know, I hope that's never happened to you. I hope that you never had that. It's happened to us one time. We were in Pelham, and we had not been there very long. We'd only been there a few months. And it was middle of the night. Maddie Claire and John David, they were little, okay? They were little. Just a few months in, and Lana and I were in bed. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, we heard this crashing noise, right? You never want to hear that noise in the middle of the night. And then we heard footsteps coming down the hallway. And man, when that happened, Leanna shot out of bed. She was in a panic. I was asleep. Okay, I had a hard time waking up, I'll be honest. But when Leanna finally like, "Matt, there's somebody inside. Somebody broke into her house. There's somebody inside." And I started to put the signs together and realize, man, she's not lying. Like, I hear noises and I hear somebody coming down the hallway. And again, Maddie Claire and John David, they're too little to do that at the point. So it's like, who is in our house? So like the brave husband and father that I am, I got out of bed and I went to confront whoever this individual was that was in our house. And so as I was moving towards the doorway, heard the footsteps coming, and all of a sudden I saw him. It was our stupid cat. And the cat, no lie, had broken into our house. The cat lived outside. It was an outside cat. And it had crawled under our house, found a hole in our ductwork, and had crawled through the ductwork like a Mission Impossible scene, popped up out of the floor vent, and made its way into our bedroom. No lie, I promise you, that is the exact truth that happened that night. That was almost the last night that cat lived. We almost took care of it. Showed mercy and grace. But, you know, I remember that feeling. In all seriousness, like, we laugh about it now, but in that moment, it was terrifying. Like, we really thought, like, somebody had broken into our home. And, you know, if that ever were to happen to you, like, you know, we all try to take precautions, right, and preparations, you know. Even if you do nothing else, I bet most of you lock your doors at night, right, because you want to make sure that nobody gets into your home. What Jesus says is if you knew a thief was going to come, you'd do everything that you could to get ready. And if you knew when they were coming, you would be prepared. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to be prepared, but you'd be prepared, right? One way or another, you'd be prepared. So if we're going to prepare for something that we don't know if it's going to happen, and if we're going to be prepared for something we don't know when it could possibly happen, Jesus says, be prepared for something that we know is going to happen. We need to do everything that we can to be prepared for the coming of Jesus. Now, he says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. It's going to be a sudden surprise. And so the preparation has to happen now. You can't wait until the last minute. If you decide to get an alarm system after the thief breaks in, well, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good, does it? Well, Jesus says, well, you better be preparing now, because the Son of Man is going to come suddenly, like a thief in the night. So we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it will happen, and we better be ready. The coming of Jesus is soon. The coming of Jesus is sure. The coming of Jesus will be sudden. But lastly, the second coming of Jesus will bring separation. It will bring separation. Jesus gives us one final illustration to help us understand this point. He says in verse 45, he gives us the first half of this parable. He says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions." Let's pause there. So Jesus tells this two-part story. And in part one, he says, imagine that there's a master of a house who's going out of town. And as he's getting ready to go out of town, he gets one of his servants and he says, "Hey, I'm putting you in charge of things while I'm gone. I'll be coming back sometime soon, so take care of things while I'm away." So the master goes away, and what does the servant do? he begins to work faithfully, and he manages the man's money, and he keeps the house clean, and he's the manager over all the other servants, and he does everything that he's supposed to do. Why? Because he knows his master is coming back. And so he gets everything ready. He doesn't know when. The guy just said he's going to be back sometime, but he gets everything ready, anticipating the day that the master returns. So guess what? One day, the horse comes up, and the master comes home, and what does he find? Everything's put in order. Everything's great. The servant's done a great job. So what does he say? Good job. Now get your reward. I'm going to give you even more. Look at the end of verse 47. I tell you, he will set him over all his possessions. There's a reward for the servant who is ready for the master's return. But then we flip the coin, and we see the second part of this parable in verse 48. Jesus said, if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now the scene shifts to the irresponsible servant. Same scenario, master's going away out of town, coming back sometime soon, hey, I'm going to put you in charge. And this guy says, I've been waiting for this day my whole life. And so the master rides off into the sunset, and the guy says, now we can party. And he begins to just do whatever he wants to do. Master's gone, right? The cat's away, the mice will play, and that's what he does. He decides, I'm going to use all of his money for what I want. I'm going to boss all these other servants around. They don't know what they're doing. I'm better than they are. And he squanders the wealth, he squanders the responsibility, and he just completely disregards anything that the master wanted him to do. Why? I mean, who knows when he's coming back? He's going to be gone a long time. I've still got time. I'll clean the house before he comes back. Kids, you remember that? Like, your parents are coming back. Like, I got time. I'll clean it before they come. That's this guy's mindset. But all of a sudden, while he's living his best life and doing the things that he wants to do, guess who shows up? The master. He comes back at a time unannounced. No one's expecting him. He walks in the door, and what does he see? He sees this wicked servant who has squandered all these things and has not expected the return of the master. And what does he do? He doesn't give him any reward. Instead, he receives punishment. This wicked servant, we're told, is cut into pieces and thrown in with the hypocrites in the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you and me, we don't have to go stretch our imagination too much to know what Jesus is saying here. He is the master. Right? He's the master who's gone away for a little while. He was here. He gave us his instructions. Now, he went back to be with the Father. And what did he promise us? He's coming again. When? Somebody tell me. Soon, right? And so what do we do? We're responsible for things while he's away. God has entrusted the gospel to the church of Jesus Christ. He gives us his commandments. He gives us the responsibility to go and make disciples, promising us that he's coming again soon. The question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to anticipate his coming and be prepared and be responsible believers? Or are we going to say, I still got time. I can do what I want. I'll make things right before he comes back. Because what Jesus says is, there will be two groups on that day. There will be those who are praised, and there will be those who are punished. It all depends on our preparation. Are you preparing for the second coming of Jesus? Because Jesus said he's going to come like a thief in the night to either bring a reward or to bring punishment. Which camp will you be in? It all goes back to this starting point, the big idea. We started at the very beginning. I know there's a lot of questions that I've left hanging out there where you say, oh, what does this mean, or when's this going to happen? That's not the point. The point is, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? We all need to be fully ready for the second coming of Christ. He came once. That's why we have Christmas trees up and sing Christmas carols, because he did what he said he was going to do. He came. Well, guess what? He's going to come again, and we need to be ready. But that leads to one more question. What does it look like to be fully ready for the return of Jesus? If this whole passage and this whole scripture is warning us to be prepared and to be ready, how are we supposed to do that? Well, you may notice in your outline, there's three more blanks. Very quickly, let me give you these three applications. If you want to be ready for the second coming of Jesus, number one, know Jesus personally. Know him personally. As I was preparing my sermon this week, I wrote this sentence down. I said, when the train arrives at the station, you've got to have a ticket to get on. When Jesus comes back, only those who know him will enter into his reward. Not good people, not church people, not good-looking people, not rich people. None of those things matter. What matters is, do you know Jesus? You remember we studied this, Matthew 7, a long time ago, right? Seems like forever ago that we were in the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and he will say, I never knew you. Do you know Jesus personally? Listen to me, brothers and sisters that are hearing my voice right now, listen to what I'm about to say. When Jesus comes, you better be ready. And the only way to be ready is to repent of your sins and to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, to realize that we have no hope in this life apart from him, to realize you can't make it to heaven on your own, to realize that you can't be good enough, can't keep enough rules, can't memorize enough Bible verses, can't put enough money in the offering plate. None of those things get you there. The only thing that gets you there is acknowledging that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and putting all of our hope and faith in Jesus to save us. And what Jesus says is that if you'll do that, he receives you unto himself, and he gives you a new heart and a new lease on life, and he gives you forgiveness of sins and the hope of an eternal life with him. Do you know Jesus? Don't wait until it's too late. Number two, if you want to be ready for the second coming, know Jesus personally. Number two, grow in Jesus continually. Grow in him continually. You know, there are a lot of people who, if I were to say, hey, are you ready for Jesus to come back? They'd say, oh yeah, I got saved 20 years ago. I'm ready. Well, just like being ready for Christmas doesn't mean you're ready for Christmas, the same way here. You can say, well, I'm ready for Jesus to come back because I've got my get out of hell ticket. I'm on the train, buddy. I've trusted in Christ. But are you really ready for him to come back? What I mean by this is there's this process. The biblical word for this is the word sanctification. It means the process of becoming more and more like Christ. It means that we have a purpose in life to know Jesus and to grow in him. I've said this before. If our only purpose in life was to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, why didn't he just take us to heaven after we trust in him? There must be something else, right? And so our call right now is to continue to grow in this process of Christ-likeness. I mentioned at the early service, Rob and Eric and Brian, myself, whenever we're meeting with people trying to counsel them towards salvation, particularly young people, children, teenagers, what I like to tell them is, listen, when you decide to trust in Jesus, that's not the finish line. It's the starting line. This process of growth, right? You trust in Jesus, and then we enter this journey together where we pursue Jesus, and we want to be like Jesus, and we want to love Jesus more and know Jesus more. Sanctification is the word for this. Church family, if you want to be ready for the second coming of Jesus, grow in Christ. Be the faithful servant who obeys the commands of Jesus, who longs for his return and looks forward to that day. Don't just get your ticket and do nothing and sit on the sidelines. Know him personally. Grow in him continually. Number three, show Jesus urgently. Show Jesus urgently. Again, if I were to say, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? You may say, well, I know Jesus. I read my Bible every day. I pray that he'll come back soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for those things. But listen to me. Listen to me. You may be ready for Jesus' return. But what about the people around you? What about that family member who doesn't yet know Christ? What about your coworker, students? What about the kid who sits in class next to you? What about the people who live down the street from you? Are they ready for the second coming of Jesus? Because listen to me, if they're not ready, I'm not ready. If they're not ready, then I have a responsibility to do what I can to warn them and to tell them, listen, just like Noah, the flood's coming, please get ready, please get ready. Church family, we have an obligation and a responsibility to bring as many people with us into glory as possible. You can't take your stuff, but you can take people. And so guess what? May we be faithful to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and invite other people to get on the boat with us. Jesus is coming. I want to be ready, and I want my family and my friends and my neighbors and everybody that I know and care about, I want them to be ready too. So don't just be ready yourself. Show Jesus and invite others to trust in him too. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when. You may say, well, I got time for that. I'll call him later, or I'll reach out, you know, next summer or whatever. We don't know when that's going to come. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. All we can do is do the best we can with the moment that God has given us to know him and make him known now, because he's coming soon. So here's the question. Not are you ready for Christmas? I hope you are that. But are you ready for the second coming? Do you know Jesus? Are you growing in him? And are you showing him to the people that are around you? Would you pray with me as we consider this morning? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth. And Lord, amidst that truth, I know there are still some questions about how this all works and the signs and when you're coming and how things are going to be. But Lord, would you help us not to get so wrapped up in the details that we miss the main thing? And the main thing is that you're coming and we need to be ready. Lord, I don't know when that day is going to be. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Lord, all I can do is be ready. And that for our church as well. So Lord, would you help us? Would you help the faith family here at First Baptist Church Moultrie to be prepared for your second coming? I pray that if there's somebody here today who does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they heed the call and they trust in you, God, while they still have a chance. God, for those who do know you, may we be faithful to grow and to be that good servant. And God, may we eagerly look forward to your return while at the same time letting you be known to those around us. So God, would you help us now to respond as you lead us and help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen.